This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was Mr. Positivity, really enjoyed the Brunson shot, happy they moved on from the Pistons, shouldn't have been that hard, but I didn't want to be the bad guy, I didn't want to take away from the joy. Today it's more Mr. Reality, and the reality is very simple. I think everything that's been done, every move that's been made, whether it's the hiring of Tom Thibodeau or the signing of Jalen Brunson or the trading early on in the Leon Rose regime of Obi Toppin, or trading R.J. Barrett and quickly for O.G. and Achiuwa, or trading Randle and Dante DiVincenzo for Cat, or trading the 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. The Knicks have no more money capped out, no more real draft equity that is going to entice anybody. So Giannis is a pipe dream at this point. All the things that this summer, all the things that they've done, it's been done with the intention of finding a way to beat the Celtics and then eventually win the championship. And if it doesn't go the way we want it to go, then what does that say about the moves that have been made? Well, it would say that they're not good enough. And that's okay if there's other real good moves to be made. And I fear that there's not, based on the reasons I just gave you about the, you know, being capped out and the draft equity. So, you know, now it's time for Karl Anthony Towns to prove to those dissenting voices, and I'm one of them. Not as a skillful player. I think he's very talented, but there's the next level evaluation. He was brought here to help Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks get to and win a championship. Now, this is where we evaluate you. And you know, there were too many times during the Pistons series, even though he hit a couple of 30-foot bombs, and even though the other night, when he right before he fouled out, he made that big defensive play where he had to steal and he missed the free throw, whatever. But he did some things in the Pistons series that without him doing, they probably wouldn't have, or they might not have won the series. I get that. But that's got to be the baseline. And there can't be, you know, long lapses in period one or period three, and certainly not in period four, where he's just not influencing the game. I know Brunson's fingerprint's going to be all over this series. I need Cat. And if you get that, and especially if you get that tonight, and he comes out and he just smokes KP, eviscerates him, lights him up. If he can do that, Knicks could steal one. Maybe get that Garden energy going, start winning some games at the Garden. That would be nice. Who knows? But that's where we are. This is not house money. I think that that's offensive. This is not the Mets last year when they won 89 times. Didn't even win 90. You know, got into the playoffs there, had some magic, the home run by Pete, Lindor, obviously, a couple of big bombs against the Braves, like all that stuff that happened. No, this is the expectation. And I know that it's kind of a microwave way of looking at the Knicks, but that's just too bad because their success put us here. We always like pine for the 90s. This is what it was like in the 90s. All right, you're playing, I'm thinking some of their opponents early on. I know they played the Hornets. I know they played the Nets. I know they played the Cavs one year early. Like, it wasn't, that's like, why? When they dispose of, when they beat so-and-so, I mean, the other first round series that was which was nuts was when the Knicks were the 8 seed and Miami was the 1 seed, but that was a it was a wacky year, wacky circumstances, Allen Houston, sick shot, crazy, awesome. But generally, like when I'm talking about before that, when the Knicks were Riley and they were supposed to, you know, get to and hopefully beat the Bulls, whatever, you just discard whoever you have in round one. Like they couldn't even really do that this year. And I'm not here to relitigate the Pistons series. You know, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to keep reaching for the stuff that is a little negative or a little worrisome. But now the evaluation starts full throttle. Can't hide. Whether it's Tom Thibodeau, whether it's Leon Rose, whether it's, you know, Brunson, not that he's going to even try, Karl Anthony Towns, or the wings, or the bench, nowhere to go. The spotlight gets ramped up. Let's see what you got. 888-808-1019. Let me get Mario Long Beach, BT and Sound on the Fan. Mario, how you doing today?
Hello, good. What's going on, BT?
It's good.
Good. So in terms of the Knicks, I'm a big Knicks fan like you are, too. Mm-hmm. But I want to look at this. I give them a little bit more of a chance than what you're saying. You know what happened yesterday in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Indiana beat Cleveland yesterday in game one at Cleveland. Indiana is underdogs to Cleveland just as much as the Knicks are underdogs to Boston.
Nah, I don't agree with that.
But no, look at the betting line.
Well, tell me what they were. Knicks were plus 1,000.
They're saying minus 900.
Okay, well, the Knicks were 1,000, so a little bit more. But all right, same neighborhood. Keep going.
Same neighborhood. So I'm saying they could have that chance, too. And another thing I think is, I think all of the starters have to play good. We know Brunson's going to come to play, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's almost like a closer. If you have a closer in baseball, this is my analogy. Tell me if you agree with it, because I know you're a baseball guy. Mm-hmm. If you have a closer in baseball, but you're never ahead, your closer can't
yeah.
close, right?
Yeah, I get that.
With the Knicks. Uh-huh. I believe that if with 5 minutes to go, the game is very close. There's nobody on this planet that I want more than Brunson. And I think they can win.
Now hold on a second, Mayor. I'm with you. I'll take Jalen Brunson over anybody. But I'm not saying he's better than everybody, but for what he means and how I respect him, I'm happy he's ours. I wouldn't trade him for anybody. But the last series, the Pistons didn't have anybody to match Jalen Brunson's greatness. This series does. His name is Tatum.
Because that guy who was guarding him is noted to be one of the best defensive players in the league on
mm-hmm.
Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the way he pulled that move on. So I'm not really sure, but we'll see what happens.
I can't wait.
We're both Knicks fans. Let's hope for the best. Great show as always. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Mario. Thanks for making that call. 888-808-1019. It's been a while since I got a hate tweet, but I just got one here. 12, 13 minutes ago, right? So, yeah, I mean, if you don't get them, you almost start to wonder what's going on. It's been a while. I mean, it hasn't been that long, but I guess first one today. And this guy, I'm not even giving you his name, giving the satisfaction. It's dope. He writes, "Hey, the more I think about it, you're a disgrace to New Yorkers everywhere. Our city was built on resilience and hard work." Yeah, no kidding. My ancestors were a big part of that, so I'm well aware of that. Thank you for the historical education, Dave. Thank you. "Nobody said a title would be easy. You're a phony Knicks fan and a phony New Yorker. No wonder why you moved to New Jersey and are a Jets fan." "I moved to New Jersey because I liked the schools and I wanted a little more space than I had growing up on a little concrete slab that I had in Brooklyn. Is that okay? Number one." Let's see. What else can we pick apart here? I mean, I don't think I'm a disgrace to New Yorkers. I'd like to refute that quickly. "Our city was built on resilience and 100%. Nobody said the title would be easy." I agree. "You're a phony Knicks fan." Dude, I mean, that's the balance of doing what I do and maintaining my fandom. Like, yeah, I'm a Knicks fan. Everybody knows that. But I'm not just some delusional, maybe with the Jets delusional on occasion. But, I mean, I got to tell you what I think is going to happen, dude. Now, you make it seem like if the odds makers and everybody on all these shows which, by the way, most of these shows are horrendous now, nationally. I can't even watch them, dude. Ugh. But has anybody picked the Celtics unless they're just trying to be different? Like, you make it seem like everybody's picking the Knicks, and I'm on the air saying, Knicks have no shot. Knicks are going to get waxed. You know, like, that's not what's going on here. This is a continued evaluation of you know, how they played during the regular season, the relationship between the two teams a year ago, where the Celtics are organizationally, their positives, their negatives, blah, blah, all that stuff. That's all factored in. So it's all part of it. And I hope I'm wrong. Yeah? That was a little harsh there, Dovey. I mean, I thought, you know, I think when you from Brooklyn, you want to be on the air, you know, you make it, you know, you're kind of a regular guy. I don't think you'd be a disgrace to New York. I think you'd be, you know, I think you'd try to elevate me a little bit here, but that's not the way the world goes anymore. It's okay. Cologne in Hawthorne. What's up, buddy?
Hey, DC. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, the one thing about those 90s Knicks, they did rebuild like 3 or 4 times, you know, because the first with Pat Riley, and then obviously, you know, Van Gundy, they did like, you know, had like, almost like 3 separate runs.
Right? Oh, I know. Listen, of course. Well, the second run was more Houston, Spree, Camby, and the first run was Patrick, Oak, of course, Derek Harper. You know, I get it.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. And also, I think last year, you know, they lose the 7th game to the Pacers. And to my opinion, you know, that 7th game loss made the Pacers take a step forward and the Knicks took a step back. Because watching the Pacers play over the weekend, they're going to be a tough out. And if the Knicks would have won last year, the 7th game, I think they would have played Boston, they pulled a loss. But I think they could have measured themselves to them by actually playing them. Mm-hmm. So to me, in basketball, it's all about steps, progress, and moving forward. And that game, to me, last year, that loss, I think, hurt the Knicks. So
yeah.
I'm just looking for a competitive series, win a couple of games, and maybe push the Celtics a little bit. Can we just push them a little bit? I know we're not going to beat them,
but I want
to see a competitive series.
All right. I hear you, but can you raise the bar a little bit here? Like,
yeah.
You know, you just said, quote, I know we're not going to beat them. Oh. That's tough.
You know, that last game at the Garden, you know, they wanted to beat them so badly, and it was KP with a big shot and also Tatum.
And Tatum, you know, walked on that play, top of the circle. Yeah, I know. He took about 3 or 4 steps. He did. He really did. I mean, Tatum's amazing, but he traveled there. And the thing that was very disconcerting about, thanks for the call, about that night is that the Knicks came in, and I think internally it was their mission to send a message to Boston, like, hey, when we meet, because we know where we are seed-wise, we know where you are, we know if we take care of biz in round one and you do the same in round one, we know that we'll play you in round two. So let us at least plant the seed to let you know that we can beat you, because we haven't done that yet all year. And, like, the Knicks' motivation and focus was evident. They took that game very seriously. I'm not saying the Celtics were goofing off, like, you know, on the layup line and didn't watch film and they were taking it like a preseason game, but the Knicks clearly were on a mission to win that game. And the Celtics, they just kind of they woke up in the middle of a pretty intense game. They're like, all right, let's just go to work. Let's take care of this. Let's win. And they did. And they know that. So, you know, I think the other thing, too, and I complained about this last week. So let me see. Sal was off. Was Sal off Thursday, too? I know he was off Friday. He was off, right? Yeah, he was off Thursday and Friday. So I said this on Wednesday after Tuesday's game at the Garden, which we thought the Knicks could close him out. They couldn't. And, you know, part of the thing that's very stressful this run is that the Garden has not been defended by this crew at all. I don't know why. It's not your fault, the fans. But I think the Knicks were 27-14 at the Garden this year. That's just not acceptable for the talent that they have. Honestly, that's just not good enough. And, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of kidding, but I'm really not. If they take out that stupid blurry logo again, I don't know who they're trying to fool and what. Listen, this is not OKC. This is not Orlando. This is not Indianapolis where they've got it. It looks like the colors and they got like these blotches of paint on. Have you seen the Pacers court? Of course you have. This is the Garden. Stick the big, bold, triangle, blue and orange Nick logo in the middle of center court and stop wearing those stupid uniforms that says New York 3 or 4 times that, hey, my vision's going enough. I honestly can't even focus on those things. It is weak. It is faint. It's not tough. It's not Knicks. Get rid of those things. I can't stand those stickers. Who likes those? Besides maybe your 7-year-old kid. That is weak. It's too inviting. Doesn't pop. Now, I'm not saying that that's why they haven't been playing well at home, because They've lost when I want the good logo there. But let's just go blue and orange and make it pop in New York and then the Knicks. You know the logo that I'm talking about. Ugh. That is just a soft logo. I understand. Well, please don't even waste your time calling. Well, Brandon, the reason they do that is it's a third or fourth jersey. Understood. That's my problem. Because for all these money grabs, they come out with these logos that are not representative or that don't connect enough to the actual logo that we like, that we're used to. And damn it, that we demand at this point. So get on it. That's the warning to the, like, they better not mess around with that again. Let me get Devin up in Boston. Devin, what's happening?
What's up, BT? How are you, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. I spoke to you last week. So I'm a Knicks fan. I live up in Boston. I'll be in the building for game one and game two. Also, personally, a house divided. My wife's a Celtics fan, and we've got a five-month-old daughter who I will not allow to be any Boston fan. So
nice.
Let me start with that.
Devin, that's my kind of guy. That a boy.
can't allow it. Can't allow it.
Nice.
A couple things here, right? So I think from my perspective and kind of all my friends up here and the general consensus in the city of Boston right now is they don't respect the Knicks, period. And I think that's a factor. If they don't respect the Knicks because they don't take us seriously. And I think the betting lines kind of show that. And the national media, which you said, which is pretty much a joke anyway. But, you know, in every regular season game, I went to every game when the Knicks were in town, and they lost all those games, right? And I think what I'm hopeful for is that Thibodeau's learned from those four losses. Sometimes you can learn a lot more from a loss than you can from a win.
True.
The other thing that I'm, you know, again, glass half full is our starting five needs to show up, period, stop. All of them. It's going to take all five. All five are going to have to play well. And the big bodega is going to have to play like that instead of a big something else that starts with a B. Because a lot of the times he complains a lot. And if he locks in and plays with that mentality, he could potentially take over the game in with Brunson. I think the other thing that...
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Devin, hold on a second. I wouldn't... You're talking about Cat. Like, if he didn't have that inherent talent, I wouldn't waste my time on the air talking about him. Come on.
Exactly. I think that's why we all get so frustrated, because he has that other gear.
Yep.
And he needs to start with that mentality from the tip. So the moment they throw that ball up, this isn't about complaining. This isn't about... We're going
to
see what...
I think you said something that we're not allowed to say there, Dev. I know it slipped. You said you're sorry, but we got to let you go there. Yeah, I mean, like, one of the points you said, the Knicks starting five needs to step up. That's all they have. I mean, you could make the case that this is as bad a bench that you could possibly have for, you know, being in the conference semis, you know? The bench is terrible. So, you know, if you don't get that A-plus effort by the starters here, you know, and not just, you know, a little spurt. I mean, sustained. You got to gel. You got to avoid the fouls. That's something that kind of plagued them a little bit here and there, like here and there. Like, so many things need to be perfect for the Knicks. And if they are, you know, you defend the home, maybe you steal. You got to steal one. If they go down 0-2, it's going to be a wrap quick. Maybe this thing morphs into something that I think very few of us expect. That's certainly the hope, but it's not the expectation. But how about we see a good Nick concert starting tonight? Let's go. Let's strike the right tune. Start the series the right way. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. Milton in Brooklyn. The air of positivity has entered the room. Big Milt, what's going on, bud?
Hey, what's going on? Listen, BT, before I get to my Nick point, I have to ask you something. As a loyal listener since 87, I need you to take me behind the curtain, and I'm begging you to give me the true answer.
I will try.
Don't hold back, BT.
If I know the answer, I will try. Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay. Can you please explain to me, and this is when one of you guys are off, right now, God bless his family. Hopefully he comes back happy, healthy, and everything is, you know, gets better for him, and I wish him the best. When one of you guys are off, can you explain to me why doesn't WFAN give you somebody as a replacement? Like, you're coming on the air after a draft. We need that second opinion with you. You're talking about the Knicks. Where's somebody that can give you a little fight back? Like put Big Zoo on there and get some intern to take phone calls. Why isn't somebody What is it? Is it money? Is it because you guys don't want to have somebody maybe sound better than you? Like, what is it? Like,
why don't we have I'm going to give you the answer, Milt. I'm going to give you the most honest answer. When we knew that Sal had a 10, what he had a 10 to, I was asked, hey, do you want to bring somebody in? I'm like, no, I'm good. Because to me, not that there aren't, I'm not saying there aren't people like capable of coming in and doing a good show, but I'm so used to Sal that for somebody to come in who I don't have a relationship with on the air in terms of chemistry, it's trickier. That's the whole reason. And that's the only reason.
All right, that's cool. I just thought, like, when it's like a big topic, like the fans want to hear like that little, you know, we're at the bar back and forth, you know, nonstop.
I get it. I get both ways.
I respect the answer. Now, the thing as far as the Knicks is concerned, the only thing that's killing me about you is you tend to always get a little too excited and you right away jump and skip everything and go right to the top of the mountain. So you did it with the Yankees. You didn't expect that much. They got off to that great start and you right away was like, World Series or bust. There was nothing ever. The regular season felt like nothing. Like, if they didn't win, it was a failure. The Knicks, they made this big trade. This is the first year with Cat and with Bridges. First year. To me, that's a restart.
Okay.
So you can't tell me that you lose in the playoffs 2 years in a row in the second round. To me, my goal this year going in, they got two new guys. They got to get farther. They got to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, I was not expecting to play the Celtics now. It's happening now, unfortunately. So my thing is, if they show fight, bigger, give this team something to worry about, like game six, game seven, and show every game is a battle. To me, that's going to be a positive
season. Basically, do what the Pistons did to us. Let me ask you this, Milton.
Yeah.
What do you, and I kind of hear you on the length of the series and the expectation, if you can get that, great. But what do you think the window is for this team? Because that's where I think you and I disagree. So I need your answer, then I'll go. What's the window?
Okay. The window to me is two more years. So if they lose to Boston, most likely we know they might. There's like a 90% chance.
Yep.
If they lose to Boston, to me, this season's offseason is going to be it. Who are they going to add on the bench? Are they going to add some, you know, guys that have names come off the bench and could score?
Uh-huh.
Are they going to make one move to get us a shooter? Now, if Hart comes off the bench, this team can win a championship. If you find a way that Hart is your sixth man and you get me a pure scorer, to replace him, and he comes.
You want Kevin Durant? You want Kevin Durant?
Yes, I'll take absolutely. I will take him and have Hart come off the bench. Yes. Now, if they don't win, then following year, that is then we're going to talk about how you're talking, because now I'm expecting a championship. But right now, I'm expecting
them to go. So 2 years. So hold on, whoa. If they don't get so next year, I'm with you on that. Let's say they don't get to the championship this year, and they're not. Okay, but we can understand why a little bit of first year for some of the reasons Milton gave us. Okay, fair enough. And then they don't get there, if they don't, next year, working in and baking in some tweaks that will invariably happen this summer, and they don't get there next year, I want to hear anything about the next year after that. Like, there's only so much I'm willing to punt here. No, that's not their window. That can't be your window. Number one, Bridges, he's got a $25 million option next year. Like, that's the end of his contract. So the Knicks are going to have to decide. Do you sign him for big money? Do you not? And if you don't, then, well, why'd you give him five first-round picks? You know, I think Karl Anthony Towns is diminishing physically. He looks slow, man. You're going to push, imagine him in 2 years? Two full years? No, I would disagree with that. I think it's this year, and it's next year. And now, if they make the right move this offseason, maybe that could extend that third year. But if it's just I don't mean like a Durant, like a little fringe shooter off the bench, no way. Let me get Connor in Hicksville. Connor, what's cooking?
Yo, BT, what's up, buddy?
Connor, what's happening,
buddy? I told you the Knicks, man. I told you we'll pull it out.
Well, I didn't disagree. I said they'd win you predicted a Pistons win. Wow. Come on, man.
Hey, listen, if Lawrence gets back on, I'd like you to apologize. That telephone's for a comment. I didn't mean to put him in a bad mood. You know he's a Giants fan.
I remember that. Whatever. Yeah. That was a little mean, man. You know? We can't be having that.
That was a little mean. You know, it's funny. You know, one of my buddies listening, he's like, that was kind of mean, man. I just wanted to shout out Lawrence, say sorry to him, you know?
All right, good. I appreciate that.
But listen, dude, you know, like, here's my problem right now with the Knicks. It's like everyone's like, oh, the bench. Dude, if you're one of the best players on your team, right, you don't want to pull yourself off. You're not going to the bench unless you have to, you're dying. We got four dudes like that. And they're like, oh, we're playing the same guys. Well, I want the best guys on the court, and these guys are in good condition. Like, even, like, Cat, for me, it's more of a mental thing than it is physically for him. I mean, physically looking at him, he drags up and down the court.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, he's not inconsistent like some of these other players are. You know, I think he was, like, what, he only had under, like, 20 points, like, I think twice in two games, and even still, he's putting up rebounds and assists. So my thing with the Knicks is, listen, I think Bridges got to go this year if they don't make it. And then the year two, like you were talking about, I think you got to let Cat go, man. I agree with you. I don't think in 2 to 3 years, you know, he's going to be timeless like, you know, LeBron or Durant or Curry.
Yeah, there's no way. I don't see that, Connor, and thanks for the call. You know, I was trying to figure this out, so just to make sure we're not prisoners of the moment here. We all know the Knicks bench is not good, right? Now, this is the first thing that popped in my head. I could reach for other stuff, but I looked it. I was Googling when I was talking to Connor. I got it. I'm going to go with this. So game seven, 94, when the Knicks beat the Pacers, Pat with the dunk, right? That, I have the box score from game seven. Now, Oak played 41 minutes. Charles Smith played 19. Ewing played 44. Starks played 36. Derek Harper played 38. Now, the difference here is that you got 39 from Mace. So, as you took away Charles Smith, and obviously, you know, Mace got the lion's share of the minutes there, now you basically have Charles Smith as a 19-minute reserve, even though he started. But then you also had, you know, well, not a lot. You know, 12 minutes from Hubert Davis, 10 minutes from Greg Anthony, backup point. Herb Williams came in for a minute. I'm sorry to say, Herb, I don't recall the cameo. I remember you cheering a lot, but I don't remember you coming in for that game. So this notion, now the NBA is also different. There's more possessions, better athletes. Back then, if you go in more half court, you can exert some, you know, you could save some energy rather than always exerting with more possessions. So I know it's apples to apples, but I just wanted to see, like, because we keep talking about the Knick bench and it's the lack of production, but it's also the lack of uninvolvement. And the second thing, Tom Thibodeau can correct, but there's no guarantee that by doing that, it addresses the first thing, because I don't think the bench is that good. So we can sit there and say, play them more, but there's no guarantee they're going to play better. Although I do think it is an egregious mismanagement not to have Precious Achiuwa play a little bit. He was the perfect solution for that Pistons series. And I don't know, I think he's a winning player. He's going to put some stuff in around the rim. He's going to finish strong and athletically on a break with a dunk. You know, he can move his feet. He could guard multiple positions. I don't know why he didn't play at all. So, that's got to be corrected. Brett Beatty's back with the team. I know he only played a couple of games down there in Syracuse. He hit well. And he was hitting well before he actually got sent down, which I understood. I didn't love the timing of it. But he's back. And, you know, listen, again, a big basketball day. But one of the things we talked about pertaining to both baseball teams is that, you know, this is the spot in the season where you want to stop the bleeding, you want to nip it in the bud a little bit, and you want to make sure this doesn't become, you know, 6 of 9, 7 of 10, 8 of 15, you know, just something where it's like, ugh, you know, you just kind of languish for a little more than, you know, a week or close to a week here. And, you know, both teams have dropped a couple of consecutive series here, and now the Mets will go out west. The Yankees will, you know, obviously play the Padres, who are really good. Weather's going to be brutal here next couple of days, so I don't know what's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees and the Padres get washed out today and they play two tomorrow. This weather stinks, man. It's so weird, though, because so Sunday, I flipped it up. Sunday, I take my daughter to her game, local, and mommy gets to go and take, not that I wanted to go, but she's like, how about we mix it up? And she takes my son to his baseball tournament, and she's there all day, which I usually am. And they were in Staten Island, right? Now, we are in Essex County, kind of local with my daughter's game, and this deluge, I mean, just pounding from the sky. Game, you know, it was on a dirt field, muddy, so after the first, you know, 5 minutes of a straight barrage of rain, they got to call the game, and I'm thinking that they'll be home from Staten Island fairly soon. They played all day. Their first game was at 8 a.m., and they played the championship at 2. I mean, they were literally all day, and it didn't rain. But yet, you know, 15, 18 minutes or miles from there, it was brutal. So maybe I'm, when I say that, maybe the Yankees play too. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be a little different up in the Bronx. But it does look unfavorable. And we'll see. 888-808-1019 is the number. Back to these Nick calls here. Rob's in Springfield. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, BT, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on, buddy?
All right, I got a question for you. I think the Knicks really messed themselves up with all these trades they made in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Because just imagine this. If they traded nobody, they kept Hartenstein and they kept Randall and DiVincenzo.
Mm-hmm.
They have a better chance today to win this series.
Yeah, but hold on. They couldn't have, we've done this a lot, but they could not have retained Hartenstein. Now, the other guys, they could have.
Why not?
Well, because of the CBA, because he was going to, they could only offer him $16 million. Partial bird.
Okay, so they get, if they get another big that's decent.
Yeah.
Even with Randall and DiVincenzo.
Yep.
I think they got a better chance with that team than they have team right
I
now.
I mean, you know, we'll
and they still have all those picks.
I mean, Rob, we'll never know the answer, honestly, and I can't say that you're definitively right or definitively wrong. It's interesting to think about. I mean, the one thing that is a little frustrating is that we never truly did get the full answer on the Randall, Brunson, you know, OG trio. And then obviously DiVincenzo hitting big shots, whatever. I mean, they just couldn't retain Hartenstein. I've gone through that a million times. Not their fault. They had a very adept. I think he got $8 million per year for 2 years, Hartenstein. So the Knicks were perceptive in identifying him as somebody that they wanted to bring in. Came in, played even better than they thought. And then obviously the restraints that just based on the 16.1 million. I think it was 16.1. The bird rights, the partial bird rights, all that stuff. That is very boring. Knicks got penalized for making a shrewd move, and then they couldn't keep him. He played so well that he outpriced himself in the market. And it's not the Knicks' fault. I think Hartenstein wanted to stay. And I think if the Knicks could have offered him 25 a year, 22, they would have. They just couldn't. So, but we never really, it's kind of a little bit of everything. So we never got the final full answer on Randall, Brunson, and OG. Now, I don't think that team's going to win a championship either. I don't. That's me. Who knows? You'll never really know. And because they made the move, forget about Cat, because they made the move for Bridges, and I understand why they did it, but they gave up so much and they did it very early in this, you know, Nick ascent, if you will, that they will not have a chance to do anything of significance this summer because they don't have anything to give up. So unless they just trade OG, which I don't want to, you know, unless they trade Bridges, who's an expiring deal. I mean, I'm not saying they can't do anything, but the options are obviously dwindled. D-Bond or Daybond in the Bronx? Who's this? What's going on?
Hey, BT, how's it going, my guy?
I am good. I want to make sure I got you right. Is it D-Bond or Daybond? How do you say your name, bud?
D-Bond.
I got
D-Bond.
You. All right there, D-Bonds. What's going on, bud?
You ready for tonight or what?
Of course, man. Always ready. I don't think we're going to win, but I'm ready. Are they?
I have 2 points I want to make real quick.
All right.
The first one is this, man. I'd rather team chemistry than to get an old superstar like Durant and just mess everything up right now. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
The second thing
is
this.
But you don't think Durant – first, let me volley back. I don't think the Knicks have great chemistry now. So I don't think that he'd be ruining the chemistry. You don't think that, and I'm not even a big Durant fan because he didn't want us when we wanted him. So he's going to join the party now like he did with Golden State. But you don't think that Kevin Durant, you don't think that KD could help the Knicks? Imagine him getting 12 to 13 shots a night, 14 shots?
He can help the Knicks, but for how long? A year? A year and a half?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get rid of Bridges and Josh Hart and Ananobi for Durant? That makes no sense.
Not all of them. No. No way.
You know?
Not all of them. You're not getting rid of all of them. No way.
And we're not giving these guys a chance to build chemistry. It's the first year with Towns and Bridges. You know what I mean? Ananobi came in, you know, a half a year from last year. So I just feel like we got to give these guys a chance, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and we are. I mean, I don't think they have a chance to win the series, but I'm going to react, and I'm going to try to forget about, you know, as I watch these games, what I've said on the air, and just watch with a very clear prism and evaluate Towns, because he's the one that I've probably been, and Tibbs, that I've been most on, and see if they prove me wrong and see what they bring to the table, and I'm hoping they play well.
Absolutely. The good thing with the playoffs is we just don't know what's going to happen. We don't know who's going to get injured. Yep. You know, we're looking at KP. We know he's fragile. So, you know, a lot of things can fall in our place, man. But I have a question. I have another question for you.
Go for it.
How long have Brown and Tatum been playing together on the Celtics?
I think at least 5 years, right? I think it's five.
All right. And how? And they've been bumped around. You know, the LeBrons of the world took them out a few times, and they, you know, they made it. They finally made it over the top. But that took chemistry. That took years of figuring out, like, what is it going to take for them to win?
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, why is, you know, the market that we're in New York, we don't have fans like San Antonio, the Detroit Pistons of the world, you know, the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors has been around for almost a decade now with Draymond Green and Steph. So my question is, why is it that we won't give this team a chance and put some respect on Leon Rose's name, man?
I got you. Good call. First of all, I put a lot of respect on his name because he's earned it. All I've said about Leon Rose is, you know, all the moves, the levers that you've hit, the buttons that you've pushed, there's really not much more to do, so you got to be right. And right now, I don't think he is right. Like, I don't think that the big all-in moves are going to work. And that's just, you know, me talking to you and us flushing through it here. I think that we're willing to give teams time, but I think that that changes. Like, I'll give you an example. Let's say that the Jets come out this year and they win 8 games. All right, like, you know, just short of a playoff, you know, early December, still quote unquote in it. They're running the ball well. You know, Fields has looked okay. Their three running backs looking good. O line strong. Aaron Glenn in charge. Muji, some of the picks looking good. Well, we're not going to go into the next year and say, got to get to the AFC. You better host the AFC Championship game. Like, that's an unfair speeding up of what would just wouldn't be fair to the Jets. The difference here is that they were thought to be one of the best teams in the NBA. I think they had the third shortest championship odds coming into the season. So that's us reacting to who they've shown us to be, and then the moves that they made, what we perceive those moves to do in terms of changing the bottom line favorably. And when we don't see it, hey, listen, you got to understand. And again, I'm so tired of saying this. I mean, you're probably tired of hearing it, but we say it all the time because we talk 4 hours a day. They were 0-10 against the Celtics, the Cavs, and the Thunder. So you have the fourth best record in the NBA. The three teams ahead of you didn't beat once. And a lot of the games were very one-sided. So I think it's led to a bit of a complex energy, kind of where it's been. The enthusiasm was through the roof coming in. The early results were a little confounding. You know, I was on the record in November. I talked about this. It just didn't look to have great chemistry. And then, yeah, but they're going to figure it out. And they never really did against the good teams. And then here we are, the Pistons, who have, you know, one terrific player in Cade Cunningham, who's young, first taste of the playoffs. They hadn't won a game in the playoffs since 08 as a team. And they had 9 players on the roster who hadn't played a second of NBA playoff ball. And they pushed the Knicks to the brink like it was, come on. The Pistons should have won the other night. So that's why, D-Bond, that's why. Maybe it seems like we're a little short on patience, not because of where we're from and how we are, specific to the Knicks. I believe we are a little short on patience, but I believe it's justified. That's maybe the difference here for me and you. Good call, man. All right, 888-808-1019 is the number. It's BT and Sal here on the fan. Got an hour to go. Ratchet up this Nick energy, a little Yanks and Mets stuff for the weekend as well. Evan and Tiki coming up next to 2. Back to your calls next on the fan.